Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, April 21st, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Hundreds at No Kings rally in Pullman on Saturday. Dr. Ryan Cole, an attorney for women wrongly operated on, settle in a case where the woman's reproductive organs were removed when she did not have cancer. WSU police arrest two for gluing posters against Charlie Kirk's Turning Point's racist rhetoric on WSU cement. Arrestees say it was wheat paste. And far-right supporters of Idaho's censorship law replace pride flag at Boise City Hall on Easter Sunday. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Far-right supporters of Idaho's new censorship law targeting gay pride flags covered the pride flag and the honor organ and tissue donors flag on the city of Boise flagpole outside City Hall with a Revolutionary War-era military flag called the Appeal to Heaven flag on Easter Sunday. Governor Brad Little signed House Bill 96 this month, which said the only flags government entities can fly on public property in Idaho are the U.S. flag, the official flag of that entity, official flags of any U.S. military branch or unit, the POW/MIA flag, official tribal flags, Idaho college, universities, and public school flags, and the official flags of other countries if it's to commemorate a special occasion. Because it had an emergency clause, the law went into effect immediately when Governor Brad Little signed it on April 3rd. Far-right media figure Case Whalen posted a video on X, formerly Twitter, that said he and another person, David Pettinger, covered the pride and organ donor flags with garbage bags early Sunday. The replacement, the Appeal to Heaven flag, was designed during the Revolutionary War and adopted in 1775 for use on military cruisers under George Washington's command. Boise Mayor Lauren McLean said the city is welcoming and inclusive and will not take the pride flags down, in part because the new Idaho law has no enforcement mechanism or penalty section. According to the Idaho Press, city spokesperson Maria Wieg said in an email statement, "While the vandalism over the weekend was disappointing, it was quickly remedied and the city's existing flags were restored. It is unusual and disappointing to see this kind of activity at Boise City Hall, which is meant to serve as a safe and welcoming space for our residents." During debate on the bill banning all but designated flags from public buildings throughout the state, Democratic Senator Melissa Wintrow of Boise said, "I think this is one more bill that targets the LGBTQ community as trying to erase and silence them. I think it's 25 bills we're up to this session that attacks the LGBTQ community. Regardless of how many bills you throw, you will not erase them. They will still exist, and all you're doing is making it harder for us to survive." Washington State University police arrested two Moscow residents who they say were gluing posters to cement campus walls at around 2:30 a.m. Thursday to raise awareness of the visit to WSU of right-wing provocateur Charlie Kirk. Police charged 26-year-old Jeremiah Paparazzo and 21-year-old Elisa Bennett with misdemeanor malicious mischief in the third degree and obstruction. Police say the obstruction charges stemmed from the two running away from campus police investigating the postering. Authorities held Paparazzo and Bennett in the Whitman County Jail from about 3 a.m. until around 5 p.m. Thursday and released them on $2,000 bonds. An associate of one of the people arrested has told KRFP the posters were put up with wheat paste, which the associate said is legal in Washington. WSU Police Chief Gary Jenkins told the Spokesman Review, "We do have rules about posting signs and where they can do it on campus. it is a violation of our school rules, we will just take them down and not pursue them criminally. But when it takes staff time and money to repair, that's where it causes a problem. Bennett told the Spokesman Review, "We were exercising our fundamental rights to express our view of a fascist takeover of our government. An institution like WSU has an obligation to fight for our fundamental rights and support our young people. Inviting Charlie Kirk to speak with everything that Trump is doing is exactly the opposite of what we should expect from WSU." The arrestees issued a press release Thursday titled "Activists Arrested Plus Held Overnight for Protesting Trump Ally Charlie Kirk's Visit to Washington State University." The press release says, "On Thursday, April 17th, two young activists, Elisa Bennett and Jeremiah Paparazzo, were arrested for putting up posters protesting MAGA influencer Charlie Kirk's visit to Washington State University. Charlie Kirk is the co-founder and executive director of Turning Point USA, a right-wing organization that is allied with Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans. Turning Point USA has a long-standing history of using inflammatory racist rhetoric. In 2018, Turning Point USA's national field director was fired after texting another Turning Point USA employee, quote, 'I hate black people, like F them all, I hate blacks, end of story,' unquote. In 2020, after the murder of George Floyd, Kirk went on record calling Floyd a scumbag who was unworthy of attention, and most recently, Kirk led a tour to destroy the legacy of the Civil Rights Movement and Martin Luther King Jr. As Trump, Elon Musk, and their allies are taking a wrecking ball to every pillar of democracy, Kirk is disseminating MAGA's anti-American propaganda to college campuses across the country," said Elisa Bennett and Jeremiah Paparazzo. "Arresting young people for using their freedom of speech is exactly what MAGA bullies like Charlie Kirk want. We will not back down in the face of bullies. As young people, we will continue to fulfill our fundamental obligation to speak out and fight back against MAGA's assault on our freedoms." 4th District Judge James Cawthon in Boise has dismissed a medical malpractice lawsuit against pathologist Dr. Ryan Cole of Garden City, Idaho, after attorneys on both sides reached an agreement. The lawsuit by a female patient the Idaho Capital Sun calls JB included large amounts of evidence, including statements from six doctors who disagreed with Cole's diagnosis of endometrial cancer, which is a rare and aggressive cancer. The Idaho Capital Sun is using the patient's initials to protect her medical privacy. Attorneys for the patient, JB, say the results of Dr. Cole's pathology tests caused a surgery that included removing her reproductive organs. Two independent pathologist doctors called Cole's diagnosis reckless in legal documents. Cole is on record making false and misleading statements about COVID during the pandemic and traveled around the U.S. during the pandemic without wearing a mask and speaking to gatherings of pandemic deniers. The Idaho Capital Sun reports the court has released little information about the final agreement that led to Judge Cawthon dismissing the lawsuit. The agreement includes each side paying their own legal fees. Cole had also campaigned against COVID vaccines, calling them needle rape. He claimed COVID vaccines cause cancer. A Reuters fact check used studies, including one by BMJ Oncology, to refute claims that an increase in cancer in people under 50 years old corresponded to COVID vaccine rollout, when the increase actually predated the vaccine rollout by years. Cole told the American Frontline Doctors meeting in San Antonio 2 weeks after he had misdiagnosed JB with cancer of the uterine lining, quote, "I have seen a 10 to 20-fold increase of uterine cancer in the last 6 months in my laboratory. In the last 6 months, when did we start shots? January? How much solid tumor cancer increase are we going to see over the next several years? Probably a lot." A plaintiff evidence submission in the court case from JB's attorney said Cole, quote, claims to have retracted his comment that he was seeing a 20-fold increase in endometrial cancer in 2021 when there is nothing he can point to in order to demonstrate he has actually done so. The plaintiffs obtained Cole's diagnosis records as part of the discovery process, which showed less than a 1% increase in cancer diagnoses. Five pathologists and a sixth doctor examined JB's tissue samples and told the court they disagreed with Cole's diagnosis. Yale University Hospital Pathology Department Chair Dr. Paul Cohen wrote in court documents, Dr. Cole's level of incompetence in this case rises to the level of being reckless. Cohen wrote, Cole either knew or should have known there were problems with the diagnosis of serous carcinoma and that there was a high probability of harm to the patient. Cole is still licensed to practice in Idaho, although pathologists generally run labs and do not meet with patients. Bowing to COVID denier conspiracy theories, the county commissioners of four southern Idaho counties voted to put Cole on the Central Idaho Health District Board in 2021 after the commissioners booted nationally respected family medicine practitioner Dr. Ted Epperly off the board the same year. The reasoning of the commissioners was Epperly had supported public health measures that could save lives in the district, which includes Ada, Boise, Elmore, and Valley counties. Dr. Epperly supported mask rules for some counties in the district in 2020, which were already in place in the city of Boise. Cole is still on the Central Health District Board. In 2024, Washington state medical regulators put restrictions on Cole's medical license in the state because of COVID disinformation and because he prescribed ivermectin to COVID patients. And you're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
5 years after George Floyd's murder by a white police officer sparked nationwide protests and demands for police reform, progress remains slow, including in Washington. State legislators passed a number of police reforms a year after Floyd's death, including banning chokeholds and no-knock raids. One law banning police pursuits was later rolled back. Despite the changes, 2024 was one of the deadliest years for police killings in Washington, with almost 50 deaths. Dom Campese with the Washington Coalition for Police Accountability says at least 10 involved police pursuits.
We need people to step up to the plate. We need legislators to work with us. We need law enforcement to work with us. And we can enact sensible alternatives to what's currently happening.
Nationwide, police killed more people in 2024 than any year in more than a decade, and Black people have died at disproportionate rates. Research shows most killings by police begin with traffic stops, mental health checks, and other nonviolent offenses. The coalition has been pushing the state to create an Office of Independent Prosecutions to handle officer-involved shootings, rather than leaving charging decisions with local prosecutors. Campese argues the current system is flawed because when cases are reopened, they go back to the same prosecutor who made the initial decision. He says this creates potential conflicts of interest due to prosecutors' close ties with police.
We would like to see officers held accountable when they break the law and when someone ends up dying at their hand.
The Washington legislature has approved a plan to provide $100 million to hire more police officers. The bill would also allow local governments to increase the sales tax without voter approval to pay for criminal justice expenses. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by
Latah Wildlife Association, encouraging hunters to use lead-free ammunition for the benefit of their families, predators, scavengers, and the environment. Available online at facebook.com/Latah Wildlife Association. For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.
Don't touch that dial. You got it right.
We're up in the morning when it first gets light, and we do it all day. Then we're up all night so you can listen to the radio.
You got it right.
You can listen to the radio. radio. You've got it right.
Listen, listen, anytime you listen, everybody's on a mission, and there ain't nothing missing when you listen to the radio.
Listen to the radio.
You've got it right.
Community radio.
Listen, and you give a little listen to the radio.
Radio Free Moscow.
Fight Back Radio. It's 90.3 on your radio dial. Fight Back.
Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for your support. So keep on listening and listening and listening.
Fight back.
We're still here.
Radio. Fight back.
Five years after George Floyd's murder by a white police officer sparked nationwide protests and demands for police reform, progress remains slow. Across the country, police were involved in more killings in 2024 than any year in more than a decade, including 17 in Oregon, and Black people continue to be killed disproportionately. ACLU of Oregon Executive Director Sandy Chung says some police reform measures in the state, like banning tear gas and decriminalizing drug use, were passed after the protests and revoked soon after.
There have been a lot of fights we've had to make sure that the powers of the police aren't expanded in ways that are really harmful to our democracy and civil liberty and civil rights.
A 2021 Oregon law established the Commission on Statewide Law Enforcement Standards of Conduct and Discipline, which Chung supports. However, she notes that it lacks a protocol for addressing officers involved in white supremacist groups. Chung criticizes an Oregon bill that just passed the Senate that would expand police drone surveillance with less court oversight. She argues that more funding and power for law enforcement won't improve community safety. This is especially dangerous now, as she warns the Trump administration is weaponizing policing to target opponents and suppress free speech. Chung says Oregonians know that addressing the root causes of crime is what makes communities safer.
To make sure people have access to good jobs, to healthcare, to schooling, to housing.
Chung adds that many of the most successful police reforms are happening on a local rather than a state level, and points to the Community Board for Police Accountability created by Portland voters in 2020. She says the model, which has not yet been implemented, incorporates the best practices recommended for an oversight committee. I'm Isabel Charlet, Oregon News Service.
Hundreds showed up at all four corners of the Grand Avenue intersection at Cougar Plaza in Pullman Saturday for a No Kings rally, part of a nationwide 50-state mobilization. KRFP citizen journalist Brenda Cox was at the rally and spoke to some of the participants.
I am here with Whitney.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm with UAW 4591, and we're out here at the No Kings rally. And we're here to share about our May Day rally and picnic that will be on May 1st, starting at 2 p.m. at Cougar Plaza, where we will march to Reaney Park to, celebrate the wins that we've won in labor history, but most importantly, to stand up and fight back against all the things that are under attack right now.
Yeah, what bothers you most about what the Trump administration is doing? I'm with a local person, Claude.
Hello.
Go ahead. Tell me what you're doing here today. What brings you out to the, this is the No Kings rally in downtown Pullman?
Right, here to show solidarity, trying to get our government back, and trying to wrestle it from a wannabe dictator.
Right.
So my sign says,
Crooks and kooks are in charge.
Crooks and kooks are in charge. Stop, replace all collaborators. So Trump isn't our only problem.
And hands off and vote them out.
Yeah, that's what we got to do. We got to stop them, sue them every time they break the law. And then when it comes our chance to vote, we need to make sure our vote counts and get in representation that represent the people and not those that are currently being represented.
I'm here because our democracy is being systemically dismantled by a group of billionaire oligarchs. They are following Project 2025 explicitly. An unelected, unvetted immigrant named Elon Musk with no security clearance is dismantling federal institutions after he did a literal Nazi Sieg Heil behind the presidential seal. We are trying to actively help Russia while abandoning Ukraine. Everything that is just the antithesis of what America is supposed to be, and I'm coughing over it.
Are you with WSU?
I work there. I'm not a student.
Okay. anything else you want to talk about? Any issues in particular? What burns you the most?
My wife and I host a refugee from Ukraine, from Kharkiv. The Russians killed his mother, bombing a civilian area with no military presence, and we are actively abandoning them. Trump has called Zelensky a dictator, even though he is a democratically elected leader. We promised to help Ukraine, and we are currently abandoning them. While Trump repeats Russian propaganda, refuses to call Putin a dictator, it's some of the most disgusting things I've seen in my entire life, and it honestly makes me ashamed to be American.
Beverly Wolf.
Oh, and go ahead and tell me what brings you out today, Beverly.
Well, I am an immigrant. I came here from England. I lived in this country for 25 years on a green card, so I was one of those resident aliens. And not once years ago did I ever feel fear. And now I know plenty of people who are here who are legal residents of the United States on a green card and are afraid to speak out, are afraid to post, are afraid to travel out of the U.S. and because of what might happen when they try to come back. And every one of these are contributing members of our society, and they are living in fear. And so I am hearing people say, I didn't vote for this. I didn't vote for this. And I just wanted to stand up and be known that I did not vote for sending anyone, regardless of who they are, to basically a gulag in a foreign country where if a mistake is made, nothing can be done. And I just don't believe that. From the negotiator in chief, the person who brags that, you know, he can make whole nations bend to him, he cannot get somebody from back from El Salvador. And so I'm here to stand up. My daughter taught me this, and I think it's very true, that those who are the most secure, who have the least to fear, need to stand up at times when those who are feeling fear cannot stand up for themselves. So that's why I'm here. And thank you for the chance to speak.
I'm with Gavin. Gavin, welcome, and tell me what's going on.
Hi, Brenda. What's going on is that folks are fed up here in the city of Pullman. You know, this might be a small community, all things considered, but that doesn't mean that it's quiet, right? That doesn't mean that it's willing to just lay down and take the austerity and violence that is happening both at the state and the federal levels. We're talking budget cuts. We're talking attacks on DEI. We're talking folks' livelihoods out here. So we see a lot of support here in the community, in Pullman, and I would imagine from other local communities such as Colfax, Palouse, Garfield probably as well, who are very interested in all coming together to stand up for their neighbors. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Well, thank you. What is grabbing you most about what's going on with the administration at this time? I mean, what sticks out in your mind the most?
Sure. Well, speaking as a labor organizer with UAW 4591 here at Washington State University, I will say that thinking about what's happening at the federal level right now, our union is very interested in fighting back against federal cuts that affect our membership. We're talking cuts to very important cancer research. We're talking about cuts to funding around diabetes research. We're talking about approximately, if I can remember the number correctly, I can get back to you about this, but I want to say about here for Whitman County alone, we would be historically seeing about $13 million coming in for NIH funding. With those federal cuts, we're no longer going to be seeing that, right? That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for this community that just a second ago I was saying might look small on the map, right? And that money does, you know, inadvertently get dispersed into the community. We're talking local businesses in the way that just it stimulates the economy here. Yeah, and so our membership is also definitely concerned with the attacks on immigrant and undocumented workers not just here in the state of Washington, but across the country right now. We're seeing a lot of violence and austerity around that as well, certainly directed at our membership and other unions, right? We're certainly not just concerned with that, but we're concerned with all workers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to speak to KRFP.
Of course.
And that was some of the voices at Cougar Plaza on Saturday. That was a No Kings rally, part of the nationwide 50-state mobilization for this past Saturday. There were hundreds of people there. The Moscow City Council tonight will consider approval of the low bid from GG Gutters Incorporated, also known as Creative Cleaning Connections, and from Evcar Incorporated, also known as Service Master Building Maintenance, for 3 years of custodial services for city buildings. GG Gutters' low bid for modules 1, 6, and 7 was $203,500, and Evcar's low bid for modules 2, 3, 4, and 5 was $329,600. The bids are for the period of October 1st, 2025 through September 30th, 2028. The council will also hear the Moscow Police Department's annual report from Police Chief Anthony Dollinger. Also at tonight's meeting, Mayor Art Bedke will present the Earth Day Awards, and the council will hear a report on the city's strategic plan from City Supervisor Bill Belknap. Tonight's city council meeting begins at 7 p.m. at City Hall. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow Pullman area, it'll be mostly clear tonight, with a low of 31 and widespread frost, mainly after 3 a.m. Tomorrow, sunny, high 55, widespread frost, mainly before 7 a.m. Mostly clear Tuesday night, low 33, widespread frost, mainly after 3 a.m. Wednesday, sunny, high 60, areas of frost before 7 a.m. Wednesday night, areas of frost after 4 a.m., otherwise clear, low 35, and sunny on Thursday, high 68, currently 48 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. Thank you for all who attended and helped with the KRFP Real Radio Dinner on Friday night, raising money to keep the station going over these tough times. I'm Lee Robartis, Brenda Cox assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
Extinction Rebellion Palouse proudly supports KRFP. XR Palouse is organizing to have our governments and institutions declare a climate emergency, achieve climate justice and biodiversity, and leverage the power of arts and humanities to foster social change. KRFP is dedicated to progressive values, including justice and multiculturalism.